the light to me is how stunning the city is.
I can hear the owls in the park next door. I often see deer when I'm like running.
The floodplains and flood meadows are incredibly special environments. So many people put so much time into looking after
people cycling around and walking and green, positive spaces like that that make people feel good.
It's a really beautiful place to live, and the history that it's managed to preserve, I think, it is amazing.
Our awe-inspiring architecture and projects that encourage us to revisit old places with a new perspective.
So much work is put into caring for these old buildings and these old streets, and it's all with the intention of it being preserved for future generations.
I'm also part of a choir here, and this, I get so much light from it, and the people are beautiful.
We go to the minster on Christmas Eve, and it's like a tradition, and it's really beautiful, and they light candles all around. There's something, yeah, really magical and traditional and quite nostalgic about the city at Christmas.
We don't suffer from typical big city problems, and it does allow a certain protection to focus on work and community and social life.
People end up quite interconnected. It means that there's a quite a secure network.
Different organisations that are there to help people and really build a feel of sort of community.
We celebrate love and connection in all of its forms. Places like the York Pride, the Refugee Week, the Black History Month, Disability Pride. There's something going on every single month.
It's the two universities that I think attract amazing talent, or just the fact that York is positioned in kind of great kind of connections to other parts of the country.
I bloody love living here. Our car broke down. We've got this Corsa that we've had for as long as me and Ricky have been together, and it broke down when we were getting a Christmas tree. But in the end, the Christmas tree people, they were like, don't worry, we'll sort this out. They had kids come out pushing the car to like get the engine running. But there's a lot of light here.
I know many cities attract amazing talent, but I've met so many people in the last few years that have chosen to move to York, and the kind of people that seem to be moving here have been such interesting and diverse people.
So much of how we characterise ourselves as people as being very welcoming and friendly and very chatty is the dark underside of that is that we are more likely to welcome some people over others. We talk about, you know, the green spaces and these gorgeous special environments around the city. Like, who gets to enjoy those spaces? And do they have to enjoy them in a certain way in order for them to be welcome?
The city is very much a complacent place that's relying on its morals and reputation.
My kids growing up here are quite naive to the world because it is such a lovely place.
There's a closeness here, which is kind of like a paradox, because also I've never met people that are so open and generous at the same time.
If you fit into the mainstream, you do pretty well here, but if you don't, then I think it can be quite a difficult place to live.
Many of York residents want to keep it in the past. You know, we'll eventually just turn into a huge theme park if we're not careful.
It does feel like York is designed for tourism.
I feel like I'm in a TikTok video quite a lot of the time with beige and cream, and anything that doesn't fit with that aesthetic is kind of pushed out of the frame.
It can feel like York residents aren't always the audience for people making decisions about York.
When our predominant industries are hospitality, tourism, retail, the income for the people working in those sectors aren't particularly high.
There's a lot of York residents who can't actually afford to live in York.
A city whose rental prices are extortionate.
People are really struggling. There's damp on people's walls that they can't afford to like get fixed. People are talking about mortgage repayments all of the time.
A lot of struggles that people face.
A
for example, not understanding addiction and drug use, things like that create isolation for people and anger.
You know, when I walk around York and I see the empty shops and the shutters, you know, when I first moved to York, yeah, don't get wrong, but compared to it now, nowhere close. We're not looking after our vulnerable people. York is not a poor city, and yet parts of it are starting to look very poor.
I see violence and theft and antisocial behaviour in our city centre, and resources to tackle it diminishing. It clash with the visitors and the revellers. I see it in the minds of those who take their lives in our rivers and on our railways. People who don't know how to share and articulate the struggle and the challenge and the future that they deserve.
There's a poem by Maggie Smith, and she says, "We talk so much of light, please let me speak on behalf of the good dark. Let us talk more of how dark the beginning of a day is. I think, in fact, so much of the clue of the darkness of York is hidden in what we really care about and what the light is as well."
There are people that want to change it. There are people that want to change it. There are people that have hope. There are people that have been in the gutter themselves and want to help pull others out into the sunshine, onto the dry land. Listen to them, see what solutions they can come up with. York can be great. York has been great. York can be great again. But it needs the right people to help, and it needs to be listened to by the right people.
We need to turn away from putting one group or one person's needs against another's.
I feel like we need to turn away from greed. We need to turn away from othering. And I think we need to stop giving power away to other people and what happens in our lives.
Literally, the earth, nature, the ecosystem is all interconnected. So why aren't we?
The myths that we have grown up on, the iron laws of reality, that are really just that, they're just stories. And I think we need to think long and hard about the things that we believe and figure out which ones are still working for us.
Being able to have it now, buy it now, know it now, responding to things now without properly engaging in that sort of thought process. What might this do to another person, to the planet, to my own dopamine system? Like, am I honouring myself and my future and my kids?
What are we all trying to strive towards? What is it that we're teaching people to strive for? And what are we saying actually brings true joy?
We just need to turn away apathy, start a revolution.
I really believe there is enough resource. It's just not in the right place.
Land must be put to use, or it must be given back to the public.
We need to step away from the idea that we should have to fight the basic things that other people have got in heaps.
We seem to create opportunities to exclude people.
I think politicians have stopped trying to persuade people and win them over with an argument for what's right in their opinion.
We need to stop this thing of some external force deciding what is valuable and what's important.
We've put a jar of 100 red ants and 100 black ants. In the jar, they will get together, get on perfectly fine. Until you shake that jar, and they will all kill each other. And we need to look at who's shaking that jar, because we are all different people, but we can get on absolutely fine. People stop shaking that big jar.
I think there's a lot we can reclaim from our past, and I don't want that to sound as if I look at the past with rose-tinted glasses, but I do think that ideas of solidarity and community were sometimes stronger in the past.
We had social clubs, we had youth clubs, spaces where people could come together and build community bonds.
When I talk to my nan and stuff, and she'd say, like, all the ladies on her street, can I borrow this, and I'm sure that, can I have that, and they'd help each other out and everything. And, you know, now I feel like society's got very much more a I'm all right, Jack approach to it.
In the kind of 70s, 80s, certainly I remember growing up when streets were so long and people never locked their doors and people pretty much just walked in to your house. It'll have happened the same across many different places across the UK.
The communities that exist are growing, but they're not joined up, it feels. It feels like we have lots and lots of different fractured but growing communities that could do with being brought together and celebrating then each other's similarities, you know?
Anybody that doesn't believe in community, well, go to a festival, go to a gathering of large numbers of people, go and look at how whenever people are given the opportunity to come together, to create something, to have some fun, they take it with both hands collectively. They are incredibly creative, incredibly intelligent, endlessly imaginative.
We need to turn away from seeing the land as a resource to exploit and rather as land as our life force.
I was lucky enough at one point to be staying in a remote village. You know, with this real respect, they were able to maintain almost like a relationship with nature, where it was understood about not just taking but also giving back and how that would benefit them in the long run.
I think some of our ancestors' relationship to things like handicraft, for example, having a strong relationship with one's ability to make and build and create something, that the creative impulse feels incredibly spiritual, allows us to know from all sorts of places, including the head, including the heart, but including the hands.
I think we do have this desire for knowledge, this thirst for knowledge and innovation, and which I think is amazing. And, you know, over the last 100 years, the way science and technology has advanced is incredible.
I'm really encouraged by many of the new attributes of youth, of turning away from some of the old work mentalities. The country seems to be getting more intelligent.
But at the same time, I feel like it needs to be paired with some kind of moral or spiritual education. It's almost like humanity has these amazing tools but doesn't necessarily know how to use them in the best way or what kind of direction to aim them towards.
York is small and can be a fertile ground for collaboration, for small-scale independent innovation and volunteer action, I think. It's certainly worked in the past in York's history.
We have an enormous sense of tradition. And tradition doesn't always have to look like the toxic, hierarchical, the troubling things we do need to turn away from in order to overhaul our systems, right? So I think so much of what we can reclaim from our past are the stories we've been telling ourselves to push back against that for centuries upon centuries.
I feel very much like people used to fight for the rights, you know, when people didn't want to pay poll tax. Well, they did not pay poll tax, and it got abolished. You know, people wrote for gay rights, for segregation to end. All this, you know, people used to fight and stand up for things and be passionate.
We just need to look at other troubled times and other periods of great change, and keep a wary eye on to make sure that we do learn our lessons from the past and that we don't forget.
The oldest part of us is that we look after each other, and I think that is, to me, the absolute north star of our future, is that the oldest and first thing we learned how to do was look after each other, and we should keep that in our sights for our future.
It's a very exciting time, and if we are on this cusp of change, this 400-year term or whatever way you wanted to look at that, the next era, pretty damn exciting place to be, and to be involved in something like this is, yeah, super. It's exciting.
We need to remember the power of stories to connect, to
to unite and to share the human experience. Stories have so much more power. When a dandelion seed lands between a pavement crack, it grows. It makes space. It pushes apart the pavement to make space for more seeds, bigger seeds, to push open the cracks. And as that continues, you will end up with trees rooted securely in those cracks.
Every problem that people have spoken about, be it the micro or the macro level, I think can be resolved. I genuinely believe that. I believe there needs to be a collective will, a shared goal, and essentially a North Star that people can work toward.
People and planet in fundamental equilibrium.
Equality and care for all.
Charity becomes a norm.
People are healthy and happy and well-housed and can live a full life.
It looks like love, it looks like kindness, it looks like compassion.
Each of us feel whole and self-actualized and validated to be the best versions of ourselves.
We have to decentralize.
A world where communities have greater control over their local areas.
A system that you don't have to prescribe to one person's ideal of what's right and what is good and what is okay, that we all have our own.
Diversity is really celebrated. The land and resources are owned by the people who live in a place, and everyone has access to them, and everyone has access to a good life, whatever that might be defined as.
There are others who can contribute, and other ways of doing things, another way of looking at things that are actually beneficial and need to be sought out and valued.
I long for a future where young ones have places to hang, so they, instead of smashing glasses inside tents because there's nowhere to go, they're smashing fists on drums or boxing bags or whatever it is that they want to do, but they have space. I long for a future that is full of play and music and joy, silliness and meaning.
The future I long for is that everyone feels safe, everyone feels valued, everyone feels cared for, everyone feels supported.
Where genuinely is the humanity? Where is the human? The future I long for is one in which we don't need to ask that question, because it's become embedded in everybody's patterns and ways of thinking and ways of being. It is a future in which compassion is the default.
I do believe that what we are doing now with this group of people can create new patterns and new ways of thinking and a better future for people and the planet alike. I genuinely believe that.
I want patterns that value wisdom. I want patterns of being and doing that start with questions and curiosity.
There's not one way of doing things, and really encouraging like creation and innovation and real like diverse thoughts and attitudes to really kind of represent the richness that we have in humanity.
I want there to be less pressure, and I want that to be a pattern of people feeling a release from the chaoticness of the present world where we are forced to compete with each other.
Let's paint the picture in colour. Let's stop painting in black and white and start painting the picture in colour, because then if you're a bit of purple, you're not standing out, because you're right next to a bit of red, and that's cool and that's okay. A beautiful multicultural, multidimensional tapestry. I want it to be lots and lots and lots of patterns.
Like, healing takes work, healing takes concrete action.
It might be disruptive, but it'd be disruptive for a positive end game. and will be a benefit to everybody.
This is ultimately a struggle, and it is about building credibility, building networks and relationships, and ultimately building power to be able to transition and transform the world.
All of us deserve better, even the tyrants and the bullies and the abusers. We all deserve better. And the vision of the future is where we can have abundance without greed.
Thinking about what would our ancestors think of these decisions, but also what would the people who come after us think of these decisions. Also having a ripple into communities that will come after we've gone.
I want to be part of this by being open and growing and being vulnerable about who I really am and giving permission to those around me to do exactly the same.
When people come together, it helps create a community feel, and that in itself can bring a sense of togetherness. When everyone collaborates together, it's a joint piece of working towards whatever you're working towards.
We're all human, and individuals make mistakes, but really when we have a group of people whose voices are making decisions, there's less likely for that and more of a kind of representation of the diversity of thought that we have in society.
We are all breathing the same air. We are all drinking the same water. Let's remember that.
I'm excited. Yeah, I am. I think we can do it. Imagine in years to come, we go, this is the time that people sat ground and came up with an idea and made it happen.
A nurse log is a fallen tree that decays. As it decays, it creates space to facilitate the growth of new life. It is not dead. It is a garden bed. Sometimes the tree has to die to create the perfect space to facilitate new life, providing just the right amount of dark for seedlings to thrive. As they grow, they will strive towards the light. It is not dead. It is a garden bed. A nurse log will become home to an ecosystem of its own. Pathogens that were hostile in the vicinity of the tree will no longer be inhibiting the growth. A slightly different environment for new species to inhabit. Protected with some things we already know to support the seedlings to grow. Moss, leaves, water, sunlight. When we photosynthesize, the seedling survivorship is high and multiplies. It is not dead. It is a garden bed. Seeds sprout, shoots stem, leaves grow, flowers bloom, fruits ripen. The possibilities of what can be achieved are heightened. Less feelings of feeling frightened. The once fatigued tree sleeps peacefully as its dreams of new life turn into reality. What was once urgent desperation has blossomed to hope for the next generation. It is not dead. It is a flower bed.